allowed me to stand here behind this sacred desk. I know how special this place is to you, and I appreciate you having confidence in me to be able to preach for a little while tonight. This is a special time for me. I told Brother David I may just stand here and cry for a little while. But, you know, my grandboy has been saved, old Hawk, and I've got 6 grandchildren, and I've been able to baptize the first 3, Caroline and Landry, and now Hawk. Many years ago, we began to pray for these grandbabies. Prayed for our children, prayed for our grandbabies. Hawk was over at the house not too long ago, and Ty kind of told me he'd been asking some questions, and we began to talk a little bit and didn't want to force nothing on him, but we wanted to talk and see what he knew. And then the next day, I believe, he called his Nana in there, Angie. He said, "Nana, I need to tell you something." She said, "What is it, Hawk?" He said, "I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart last night." She said, "Well, that's great, man. Hallelujah." She said, "Have you told anybody?" He said, "No, you're the first one I've told." She said, "What time? About what time did you do it?" He said, 9:33. He had it pinned down. Amen. He knew. And he told me. And later on when I got home and his daddy had come up next and at the house and met him at the truck, and he was ready to tell somebody. I believe this, when you get saved, you're going to tell somebody. Amen? You're going to tell somebody. So I do appreciate you, Brother Ken. I love you. I love this church and for what it stands for. I'm glad that my grandchildren are growing up here. My children, my son and daughter-in-law and their family is here, and that's a blessing. And I know what they're hearing, know what they're getting the truth. Amen? Well, I began to pray when they told me I was going to be over here, what I was going to preach. And last week, God laid this on my heart, and just in my daily study, I opened up the Word of God, and it's one of them things, you see it, you read it, and it just kind of grows on you, gets bigger. The more you think about it, the more you chew on it, kind of gets bigger. And that's where we're at tonight. And this particular scripture, chapter, deals with Israel. And boy, we need to pray for the peace in Jerusalem tonight, don't we? When I heard they hit that hospital yesterday, I knew they would make a, you know, didn't know how it was going to go. But this morning woke up and it's been a different day. Got a young man that I know that's about, grew up in Rootful. He's there. And he called me the other day and he texted me today and he said, "Hey, it's getting bad." So we need to just remember all of those that are serving, all of those that are headed that way, and never know what's going to happen. But if you will, open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 124. Psalms 124. And I want to read all 8 verses right here. And if you don't mind, if you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's Word tonight. This is a song of David. Literally, this is what the Jewish people would sing as they would go up to feast, and they would sing these, they would chant or sing these lyrics, these verses. And so this is a song of David. And listen to what it says. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord." Can you say that tonight? If it not been for the Lord, amen, in our life, where would we be tonight? And the psalmist here said, "If not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth." Well, there you see the Lord, you see the Lamb, and you see a lion in that one verse. Amen? Thank God for the Lord. "Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I ask now that you'll just help me to preach what you've laid on my heart. God, as I stand behind this sacred desk, God, I pray that you forgive me for sin in my life. Forgive me and cleanse me. I already asked that tonight, Lord. I want to stand here before you and before this congregation, God, and preach what you've laid on my heart with power and unction that only comes from you. God, I pray if there be one here tonight that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, that tonight will be the night they'll come to know you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. Thankful for saving my grandboy. Thankful that my family's here tonight. And again, I ask you to bless Brother Ken and this church for what they stand for. I ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. And amen. I just want to say again, if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be tonight? That thought began to just grow in my heart and get bigger and bigger. And if it had not been for the Lord, and as we look at this, these eight verses, the first five we'll see in those verses, it talks about being delivered. Being delivered from the enemy, being delivered. And then we see in verses 5 and 6, or 6 and 7 that is, that once they were delivered, they begin to worship and to praise Him and thank God for what He done. And then verse number 8, it goes back, the Lord is our help, and talking about they've been rescued. Can I tell you tonight, we've been rescued if you're born again, amen? And as we look back in this word, in this scripture right here, I want us to look at some things for just for a minute. I want to look at our deliverance. I want to look at my deliverance. I want to look at my faith for just a little while. And your faith and your deliverance. I'm thankful tonight. Your pastor's already said it. But I'm glad I'm saved. Amen? I've been saved now 28 years. I began to put some numbers down and try to figure everything up, Brother Ken. 28 years ago in Rootful, Georgia, on the side of Highway 27 in a little makeshift chapel over there, they started a little church called Holy Ground. And they invited me over there. And I had a boy I went to school with. He was preaching, Brother Paul North. Man, I walked in. I grew up in church. I grew up at Ephesus Baptist Church. I joined the church and I'd been baptized. But yet that morning, boy, I never will forget, I fell under conviction. Some things began to take place. We left that week and that next week I had a good friend to get killed at work. And boy, it just shook up my world, man. And I laid down in my bed one night and I realized this. Men, we don't think about, as long as we're out playing and working, we don't think about eternity, amen? But when they cut them lights off, it seems like we begin to think about eternity. I challenge you tonight, think about eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity at? I began to think, and we got back to church that next Sunday, and the preacher preached. I can't tell you what he preached. I have no idea what Bible verse he read, but I know this. I was under Holy Ghost conviction, and when he gave the invitation, I ran down to a little makeshift altar, and I cried out, God, just save me. Amen? And God saved me. God delivered me. God changed me. Amen? I was different. I walked outside. At 28 years ago, I never seen the sun shine so bright on that first Sunday in June 1995. Hey, everything changed, and I'm thankful. My kids were just small, but my family changed. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I had a Savior in heaven that looked down through the portals of time and seen me some 2,000 years ago, and yet He loved me enough to die for me, to shed His blood for me, give His life that I may one day have eternal life, that I may give my heart to Christ. Tonight I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? Amen? You know you're saved, Hawk. This is supposed to be a charge to you, son. Stand up just for a minute. Boy, I'm telling you. Now listen, I love my children. I love my kids. And listen, you want to see a preacher fight, mess with my kids. But you want to see a preacher get mad and fight, mess with my grandkids. Amen. And don't mess with their nana. Amen. Nana's probably worse than I am. You know, Ty's a coach. Another night we was at a ball game and one of the fans said something that wasn't real pleasing to the coach. Amen. And I looked at Angie and I thought, what are you doing? And she was standing up. I'm talking about little sweet Angie, man, my wife. And looking over there wanting to say, and that guy just hushed. Amen. He dropped his head. So don't make her mad. Listen, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad we got a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son and died for us. Hawk, I'm glad you're saved, son. Well, the greatest thing you ever done, I've seen you in Christmas plays. I've seen the good grades you make. I've seen you hit the ball. I've seen you run for the touchdown. But son, the greatest thing you ever done was about a month ago. You give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ. Hey, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it'll be sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful tonight that there is salvation. Amen. Oh, tonight I'm thankful for my deliverance, thankful for salvation. A lot of folks got it. I played church. I was just religious, Brother Ken, for a long time. The old colored preacher, old black preacher, he said this right here. He said that religion and salvation is different. He said religion's like kind of a pigtail. He said it looks good, it's all pretty, but ain't got no meat on it. Amen? That's what religion is. Religion is man, hey, trying to reach up to God. But salvation is God reaching down to man and lifting us up out of that miry clay and setting us on that solid rock. Hey, what? I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful that I'm saved and my name is written down just as I thought, man, I've got 3 more grandbabies. At this time, I may have more on the way. I don't know. I got 3 more I'm praying for. Where's Caroline at? Hey, I'm going to embarrass her just for a minute. Stand up, Caroline. I don't get this all the time, but Ken, I don't get all my grandbabies together. All my kids in one place. Stand up, Caroline. She's sitting there by Nana. She's right there. She is the head of all the grandchildren. She tells them what to do. Amen. She takes care of, and she is my hero. When she was 6 years old, she was in an accident and lost her eye. And she don't like to talk about it, don't like Papa to talk about it. But I'm telling you, we know how good God is, don't we, Kimmy and Dustin? We know what God can do. We've seen God. God spoke to me. I struggled with that and said, Lord, why? Why is that taking place? And the Lord said, do you not think I can give her 20/20 vision in one eye just as good as 2 eyes? And Lord, from that day on, it's helped me. The doctor said she wouldn't ever be able to play ball or hit the softball. Hey, she can knock that ball out of the park. Amen. She can play it. She can do it. She plays volleyball, softball. She does it all. Hey, I'm just bragging on God tonight. Amen. Telling you what God will do. I'm telling you how good God is to my family. I'm thankful tonight for salvation. Oh, that salvation. The Bible says in John 3:3, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know about being religious. I know what it's all about, knowing how to take, you know, we train our young men. It won't be long, y'all be training Hawk how to take up the money around here. Amen? That's what Baptists do. We teach them to take up the offering. Hey, there's what, pray the little sweetest prayers. And I knew all of that right there. I knew what to say when so-and-so, Miss so-and-so walked up, or Brother so-and-so. I knew how to play that game. I knew it when I Miss Angie, when we got married, she said, are you saved? She asked me that, and I said, yeah, I'm saved. And she said, okay. So probably about a year in our marriage, she said, are you sure you're saved? I said, yeah, made me mad, Brother Ken. I said, yeah, I'm saved. I went down as a little boy, and I done this, and I done that. But Lord, I'm telling you, I was as lost as last year's Easter egg, amen? And I'm thankful for God's mercy and God's grace in my life. I'm thankful that God had that mercy on me and shed His grace and give me an opportunity on that first Sunday in June 1995 to come to know Him as my Lord and Savior. Oh, this morning, Hawk always thank the Lord. You know, that's the thing, what he's doing right here in this particular verses. He's praising the Lord. He's thanking the Lord. He's honoring the Lord for the deliverance. You know, we need to thank Him. When I walked in the men's meeting a minute ago, there was a song playing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Every one of us in here tonight ought to thank God. Whether you're here tonight and you're lost or you're saved, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you ain't in hell yet. Amen? You got another opportunity to be saved. But if you're here tonight and you're saved and you got, you know where you're headed to, you ought to just thank God for the salvation you have in your life tonight, that you know you have heaven to look forward to. Then we go on and in verse number 5 and or verse number 6 and 7, we see that blessed be the Lord who hath not given us prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers, and the snare is broken, and we are escaped. And really, again, there he is praising and thanking the Lord. And it's a worship. Listen, we need to get back to worship. Amen. We need to, you know what true worship is? When you look at the definition of worship from the Word of God, you go in there when it's first mentioned. And it carries that same meaning all throughout the Bible. But that worship means that they bowed down, that they were prostrate before God, that they were humbled. Listen, too many churches, you ought to thank God for your church, you ought to thank God for your pastor, your guide, amen. Because we got too many churches in this area, too many churches in the United States. All they're trying to do is entertain now. Amen. You walk in, they got the lights cut down, they got the smoke on the stage. Hey, listen, we need some men of God stand behind this pulpit again, get a backbone and preach, thus saith the Lord. Amen. What this book says, my friend, is true, and we need to stand for it. Come hell or high water, we need to stand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You got too many folks running around. Hey, I tell you, most of these preachers that's filling the pulpit today wearing skinny jeans and flip-flops and shooting peace signs. Listen, half the women in the church can beat them up, amen? Hey, we need some men. We need some men to preach the gospel, amen? Lord God, help us. We go to these pastor and wife conferences and all that, and I think, man, them jokers are so feminine. It's unreal what's taking place. You don't know why the church is in a mess? Because walk behind the pulpit, you ought to thank God you got a real man of God. You got a man with a backbone that is standing up and preach from this old King James Bible. Amen. And God will honor that and bless that. But we need to get back to worship. Look at the family. We looked at the faith and now that deliverance. But where's the family at now? Brother Ken, it's sad that on Sunday mornings we'll have a pretty good crowd. But come Wednesday night, where they at? Let me tell you where they at. I'm fitting to make half of them mad at me. I ain't got to come back, amen. You know where they at? This is what I have to deal with. I got several folks that love the rodeo. I got a big old lake over on the other side of my church called Lake Wedowee. A lot of them go there on Wednesday night. You know what I have to compete with? Football. Softball, baseball, I gotta deal with all that. How about you, Brother Ken? I know, amen? You done got quiet in here now. Huh? Hey, we need to get back to worship, amen? Hey, I love ball better than anybody you know, and I love rodeoing better than anybody you know. But listen, anything that gets before the Lord, hey, we need to check up on it. Why are the families struggling in our life, in this world today? Because they don't know what real worship is, amen? They know what going to church is, but what is real worship today? Man, getting with the Lord and getting an altar. I've been at Bethel East now 11 years, Brother Ken, and there's members of my church, I've never seen them in the altar. Worship. Listen, if you're going to worship, you're going to find yourself in an old-fashioned altar somewhere along the way. You go back to the first time the altar is mentioned, you see old Abraham and Isaac headed up a mountain. And old Abraham was going to lay his boy on that altar right there and going to sacrifice. And that's where you'll see, that's worship. That's worship. But first mention of worship. He was going to an altar. He was going to an altar to put his boy on there. See, that worship and altar go hand in hand. They go together. Listen, tonight we need to know what real worship is. Hey, we need to worship the Lord. Hey, we need to come to church asking God to do something for us and honor Him when we get here. We need some mamas and daddies in this time, in this hour. Listen, the world is trying to get your children. Hey, Satan, you talked about, I never thought I'd live in a time where we had to be concerned about a man going into the little girl's bathroom. Listen to me. It ain't New York or Atlanta. It's all around. Amen. You'd be surprised to know what's happening up here at Bowden High School. You'd be surprised to know what's happening in our high schools around us. Hey, listen, you better get back to an altar. You better. Oh, Elijah said we had to rebuild the altars. You remember that? Hey, that's what we need to do tonight. Get back to the altars. Get back to true worship and teaching our children. Thus saith the Lord. I'm not talking about having a mean spirit towards folks. I'm talking about having a loving spirit. You know what? God loves that crowd. You know that? He loves them. And we ought to love them and teach them the truth and give them the gospel. There ought to be worship in our churches again. There ought to be worship in our families again, our homes. We need some mamas and daddies, that'll just be mamas and daddies. Quit worrying about what Hollywood's doing, how you're dressing your girls and how you're not dressing and what the boys of music they're listening to. We need some mamas and dads. Hey, we need some real men, amen, to teach our young men that God and Jesus Christ is what matters in this world. We need some mamas that'll get back to praying for our children. God help us in this day and hour to have real worship, to find out what these old altars are for. I hope you got an altar in your home. I'm thankful for this altar here. But do you have an altar in your home? A place that you can come? I never forget. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. I made a lot of mistakes as a husband, a lot of mistakes as a pastor, a lot of mistakes as a daddy. And I'll make many more. But I tell you this, we started out, once I got saved, I taught my children, Ty, Kimmy, and Kat, they knew where our altar was at. And it's that old fireplace right there, that old hearth right there. And they knew that as our family altar, and we get down in there. One Sunday evening, we was coming back, just got this little old dog, little old bulldog. And we got that little bulldog, and we started up to come home in from church on Sunday afternoon. In summertime, it was still daylight out, and that little dog, little puppy, you know how they are, they come running around the cars. I was coming up the driveway. And you said, stop, stop. Now, I didn't stop, amen. And I run right over that dog. And man, it was dead. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out and the kids got out of the van. They were screaming. All of them were screaming, you run over our dog, Daddy. You killed our dog. I said, Angie, get them back in the van and got them in the van. And they went up to the house. I picked that little dog up, man, and all the way up that driveway, pretty long driveway. I was thinking, Lord, why did I do this? We had a good service tonight. I paid my tithes this morning. Then you run over my puppies. Amen. Little old bulldog, little English bulldog, been wanting one, a pretty little old thing, and now it's dead. Well, I didn't know this, but the kids had done went in the house and got in the altar, and they was praying, God, don't let our bulldog die. Don't let our bulldog die. I didn't know that, and I got up to the house, and I walked out, and about the time I got to the house, all of a sudden, that old bulldog shook his old head like this right here. And I said, my goodness, I guess it just knocked it out or something. But it was bleeding, there was blood coming. Listen, I don't mean to be gross, out of his ears, out of his eyeball, and anywhere else. Amen? And I said, good Lord. And about that time, it was alive, and the kids run out, and they was on the porch, and they said, oh, our dog's alive. We knew God wasn't going to let our dog die. We've been in there praying. We knew God wasn't going to let our dog die. Now that old dog, we took it to the vet, and I probably put $2,000 in that dog, amen? It couldn't walk straight, had to prop it up against the house, let it eat, but it lived, amen? It lived! And then had all that money in it, and it just went missing, amen? But they learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. Two dogs I had like that. Two dogs that I seen God resurrect. Amen. I'm just telling you, need to get an altar. Need to get an altar. And from them kids, that's what they believe, that God hear their cry. We need to teach them that God can hear our cry. Listen, you see deliverance. You see that salvation and our faith. You see here about worship and our family needs to know what worship is. Our family needs to know about the Lord. They need to know about church and what it means. They need to have respect for the pastor and the people. They need to understand. Hey, there is conviction when you come to a Bible preaching church. Amen? The Holy Ghost of God brings that. We're to be fishermen of men. We're to go out and catch them. And the Holy Ghost to do the cleaning. Amen? So often we want to get them clean, Brother Ken. This is me now. I'm talking about Keith. So often I want to get them clean before I get them in. But our job is to get them in the church and let the Holy Ghost clean them up. God, help us to worship the Lord. Not only worship, we're here in our clothes out here in verse number 8. But then he said, our help is in the Lord, the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In other words, we see our help. We've been rescued. You know what I've been, you know what I've been rescued from? I've been rescued from hell. How about you? When I got saved, do you realize that this is as close to hell as you ever get as a born again believer? And hell is real. Hulk, You need to understand, son, when you got saved, God saved you from hell. He rescued you from hell. And this is as close to hell as you ever get. Some 14 to 20-something feet or miles below us in the core of the earth, there is a flame burning. And that flame, my friend, will never go out. And that flame is called hell. Just as real, hell is just as real as heaven is. And listen, I've been rescued. I'm so confident that I could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk with about three of y'all on my back. Amen? And I ain't got to worry about falling into hell. Hey, I'm thankful tonight that I have been rescued from that place called hell. It is real, but I've been rescued. There's been several things God rescued me from. He's helped me through the years. Talked about up there in that deep waters, how that water... I used to know an old preacher. He kind of took me in, Brother R.C. Prescott. Miss Amy, he kind of looked kin to us right there. I don't know if you ever met Brother R.C. or not. But he'd sing, he'd take his teeth out when he got to preaching, and he'd sing this old song. I've been wading through deep water trying to get home. I've been wading through deep water trying to get home. I've been wading through deep water. I've been wading through deep water. I've been wading through deep water trying to get home. How about you? How about you? You've been wading through some deep water? Oh, I'm telling you, you can be rescued if you just let the Lord rescue you. It's kind of like that old boy out there, and y'all have heard this right here, and I'm about to close. But man, it come a big flood, and he climbed up on top of his house, and he said, Lord, here I am, come get me. Well, you know, the boat come by, and he said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to rescue me. And so another boat come by, and he said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to rescue me. And all of a sudden, a helicopter come by and said, man, you better get in. So this water's getting high. It's getting high. You're going to drown. Sure enough, he said, I'm waiting on the Lord to rescue me. He died, and he did go to heaven. He got to heaven, and he said, Lord, I thought you was going to rescue me. He said, man, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What was you waiting on? Amen. Listen, God's doing something in your life. Look, listen to the Lord. He's wanting to rescue you. It may be that little sin you're holding on to. It may be whatever it is. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like me, just religious. Maybe just a member of a church, been baptized. Baptism, that water you're going to get baptized in, Hawk, hey, it won't do anything for you, son. But it's a symbol to let everybody know, hey, I'm saved and I'm following Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight, there's been a deliverance in our life. Hannah, Ty, y'all have a responsibility. Us, Rodney, and Carrie. Good Lord. That's what happens when you get old, Miss Carrie. We have a responsibility. These aunts and uncles, y'all got a responsibility. Caroline, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. You got a responsibility to help raise these and teach them what's right. Tonight, has there been a time in your life that you've been saved? You know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord saved you. If you've saved tonight, you ought to have a desire to worship. You're here, I'm preaching to the choir literally tonight. That Wednesday night crowd is the backbone of the church. And you ought to want to worship. Listen, and you ought to thank God and praise Him that you have been rescued. You've been rescued from hell, but there's other things in this place or in your life, that is, you've been rescued from. Tonight, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I've been rescued. I'm thankful that I get to baptize my grandson just a little while, Brother Ken. That he's made a profession before God and he'll make it before each one of you. That he's saved and on his way to heaven. I pray that tonight you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If we could have an invitation song, is that all right? Just a song of invitation, and I want to open. Is it okay if they come to the altar and we all stand together tonight? I'd encourage you, as a family, maybe bring your family down in this altar. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in the altar. Maybe tonight, some of you young people. I appreciate these young people being here. Maybe you need to be in the altar tonight. I know I love this, Angie. I wish you and all the grandkids could come to the altar tonight. I don't get this very often. And just get in the altar and pray. And any of my family and any family wants to come. Y'all come and pray. But the altar is open tonight. Page 81. Page 81.
Because of the promise.